This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
اللهم صل على رب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم والذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as He has gathered us here today on this day of Jumu'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us along with our families in Jadal Firdaus al-A'la, in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without any accountability. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Brothers and sisters, when we study the Quran, when we observe the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn that even amongst Muslims, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone is at a different level. A Muslim cannot be compared to a mu'min. A mu'min is superior to a Muslim. A muhsin, a person who has ihsan in their life, is superior in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a mu'min. Likewise, a person who dies a normal death cannot be compared, their death cannot be compared to the death of a shaheed, because the shaheed has put his life or her life on the line and they lost their life due to the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand that when we live in this dunya, there's always a general standard, but there's always going to be a superior standard. There's always going to be a superiority. Likewise, in the Quran, when Allah talks about our intellect, when Allah talks about people who are smart, people who are intellect, Allah says often in the Quran, when it comes to common sense matters, Allah says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, like, don't you understand? Meaning that Allah is, this is a rhetorical question that Allah is asking. I've given you a brain. I've given you the ability to think and rationale. But why can you not use this brain to understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you not come to the oneness of Allah? How can you not come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah in the Quran will ask us many times, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. But on the other hand, there's another term in the Quran that many of us, we don't truly understand what is the meaning of this term. And this goes beyond just smartness. It goes to another level. And that term in the Quran is known as Ulul Albab. And if you pick up any translation of the Quran, you'll find that this term Ulul Albab has been translated as the people of intellect, the people of thought. And this truly, these translations do not really justify, cannot do true justice to what the term Ulul Albab means. Because this is a very rich term that is mentioned in the Quran. Now a person may ask that what is the point of all this? The point is that Allah is telling us, everyone in general, Allah has given us a mind to think. But a believer, a Muslim, has to go beyond that. It's not just the aql that we use, but we use the aql in a very deep way. And Allah wants us to be amongst the ulul albab. This term ulul albab has been mentioned 16 times in the Quran, but there are few objectives of this word or this term ulul albab. First of all is that this word ulul albab comprises of two words. The word ulu in the Arabic language usually signifies something that you have that is unique that other people may not have. For example, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ulul aidi wal absar. This is a term that is used in the Quran, meaning that at that time there are not many people who had the ability to utilize their hands in the right way and their skills in the right way, or they cannot see beyond what everyone sees. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they just don't have eyes, but they have eyes, but they use their eyes in a very different way compared to everyone else. So the word ulu means something unique that you have that other people may not have. And then the word albab usually refers to the core of something. Imagine you had a huge machine, or there's a huge piece of machinery, and you can look at that, there are so many components to that machine, but you all know that there's always the brain to the entire machine. There is the mind of that machine, that because of that mind, everything else functions. That is called lub. That is called albab. And I remember even when we were studying with our teachers, when we would go through an entire lesson of fiqh, we will go through the different opinions of the ulama and the scholars. I remember our teachers, they used to always say at the very end that the lub bil labab, meaning that the crux of this entire fiqhi discussion is this one or two sentences. So this is what ulul albab means. Ulul albab, many people think that to be smart is ulul albab. No, that's not smartness. Some people think that if you have street smartness, you are ulul albab. In our, in the Urdu language, we sometimes call them or refer to them as chalak, you know, people who are very witty, they are street smarts and so forth, people will refer to them as ulul albab. But no, that is not considered as ulul albab, because there are few characteristics of those people who are extremely intellectual. The dunya can call you smart, but what is Allah calling you smart? What is that the dunya says you are intellectual versus Allah saying that these are the people who are truly intellectual? So the question is that yes, many of us, we have smartness in certain areas of our life, but who are the truly ulul albab, the true intellectual ones that have been highlighted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is what we're going to quickly go through. The very first sign of someone who is considered as ulul albab are those people who reflect and they focus on their purpose of their life. The purpose, one of the key things that we see today in our life is that we as the human race, we have forgotten our purpose of life. And because we have forgotten our purpose of life, we are acting like animals on the face of this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, there will come a time when people disconnect from their purpose, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They will have hearts, but they're not able to think. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears, but they will not be able to hear the reality and the truth. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes, but they still don't see the truth. Allah then says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. These are people who have become like animals. In fact, they are worse than animals. And subhanAllah, today, if you look at the oppression, if you sit on social media for a while and you see what is going on around the world, wallahi, the human race overall, we have forgotten our purpose of life. And that is why we have become like animals. In fact, worse than animals in many cases. So Allah is telling us the sign of those people who are amongst the ulul albab is that they reflect on their purpose of life. They reflect on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they see the creation of Allah, then they understand that how insignificant we are and how significant Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah tells us, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah is telling us that reflect on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just last week, I went with my family and I saw the mountains. We went to Colorado and just saw the mountains, the beautiful mountains of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single time I saw these kind of things, the Quran tells us that what should be our response when we see the beauty of Allah? We say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقَتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Ya Allah, you have not created these things in vain. When you look at these amazing creations of Allah, when we go with our families in summer for vacation, and we see the amazing, beautiful creation of Allah, this is a moment to understand how insignificant we are and how significant Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. This is the sign of those who are ulul albab. They don't say that, wow, this is just amazing. But they see this and it reminds them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the very first sign of those who are the ulul albab are those who reflect on Allah, those who think about Allah, those who look at everything around them and their mind takes them every time back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the sign of those who are the ulul albab. The second sign of those who are the ulul albab are those who are very cautious of their abilities. They are very cautious of their personalities. They are cautious of their surrounding, and they always make sure that if anything happens in life, their response, listen to this word very carefully, their response is very methodical and very calculated. When people act ignorantly with them, they don't act ignorantly back with them. Allah says, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. People may say something about you, people may say something wrong about you, but a lot of times, there's no need to even go and retaliate or even confront a person who is ignorant. Why? Because like Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi says very beautifully, that he was a great debater, by the way. Imam Shafi was a great debater. He was, mashallah, very well grounded in his knowledge. But he said that there was always one person I was never able to defeat in a debate, and that was a jahil person. You can never reason with a person who's ignorant. So what the Quran is telling us is, the sign of those who are the ulul albab is that they don't engage with these kind of people. Even if someone is wrong with them, as I said earlier, they know who they are. They know their strengths. We know our own weaknesses. We are aware of our surroundings. How often we see that there are people who are very calm. They are very calm. They come to a masjid. They do this, they do that. They teach about deen and so forth. But anytime anyone rattles their cage, right away, they become the same exact way as others. No. The Quran is telling us we need to be smarter. The people of intellect, they don't act like, and they don't act in this way. And that is why, subhanAllah, just help us understand what the word ulul albab means in this context. Allah shares this term in the ayah of Hajj. Allah tells us that al-Hajj ashhurun ma'lumat, faman farada feehin al-Hajj fala rafatha wala fusuqa wala jidala fil Hajj wama taf'alu min khayrin ya'lamuhu Allah wa tazawwadu. That when you take provisions, you know, when we go for Hajj often, people who went for Hajj, may Allah accept their Hajj. Those who went for Hajj, they took a lot of provisions with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that take all these provisions, but make sure the most important provision in Hajj that you have to take is what? Taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Why did Allah mention ulul albab in the context of Hajj? Because often in Hajj, people are in their ihram, people are tired, people are exhausted, there's so much fatigue, there's so much uncomfortable, you know, situations that are going on. We have to sleep close to each other and so forth. So often in those kind of situations, people can lose their cool. People, they have a personality of patience, but they can easily lose their patience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that always be aware of your surrounding. Know who you are. When someone acts wrong with you, you don't act wrong with them. That is the sign of ulul albab. When the people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they always would try to excite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They'll always say things to, you know, ignite a fire under the Prophet ﷺ. But subhanAllah, if there was one thing that we always learned about the Prophet, is that he was always calm. He was always composed. And that doesn't mean that he never got angry. But whenever the Prophet ﷺ got angry, he would never speak at that time. This is something that we will find in the Shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when he would become angry, there were times when there was a vein. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they explained that sometimes there would be a vein on his forehead that would become very apparent when he would become very nervous or when he would become extremely angry. But during that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would remain quiet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Quraysh came and they said that you don't have any respect for your father, your grandfather, and so forth, because all these people, they not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are going against your own family. They was trying to say things to, once again, to become personal with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you see, the Prophet alayhi salam was always calm and composed. So this is why another sign of those who are the ulul albab is that they understand, they are aware of their strengths, their weaknesses, their surrounding, and they make sure that they never put themselves in a position of wrong so that other people can point fingers at them. The third sign of those who are the ulul albab is that these are people that when they see something wrong in the society, they want to make a change. But they make a change with knowledge. They make a change with wisdom. They use their skills to ensure that they look at the community affairs and then they make calculated decisions. Let me give you an example. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you study the history of the Kaaba in itself, not Makkah, just the Kaaba in itself, we learned that there were times where there were multiple doors. Like in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Kaaba was not as tall as we see today. The Maqam Ibrahim was right next to the Kaaba. The Maqam Ibrahim was removed to his current position today by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. And there are many changes that took place to the Kaaba. When there was a flood that took place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they had to raise it to the ground in order to raise it back up. They rebuilt the Kaaba. They built the Hatim because they ran out of funds and so forth. There's a long history to the Kaaba. But the Kaaba had two doors. Today we see that it only has one door. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one time he was sitting with our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he said something interesting. He said that were it not for your people, I would build another door on the other side of the Kaaba. He said, were it not for your people, I would build another door on the other side of the Kaaba. Now why is the Prophet alayhi wasallam saying something like this? Because he understands that there were two doors in the time of Ibrahim alayhi wasallam to the Kaaba. And he wants to build it accordingly. He wants to rebuild it accordingly. But he understands that though building another door on the other side of the Kaaba is completely okay for the Prophet alayhi wasallam to do if he made that decision. But he understands that the community and their understanding is not at a level that they would understand the hikmah behind this. This could actually cause more problems in the community. This could cause more commotion in the community. So what the Prophet ﷺ is doing in this kind of situation is, he's not looking at what's right and what's wrong, but he's looking at how this can have an impact on others. These are people who have wisdom, these are people who have knowledge. So the sign of Ulul Albab is that they deal with the social issues, with the society problems, with their family issues, with extreme wisdom, with extreme knowledge. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when He used the word Ulul Albab, He used it at the end of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Why did He use it at the end of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Yusuf alayhi salam, that وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We gave him wisdom. You see, Yusuf alayhi salam, how much wisdom he used throughout his entire journey of his life. All the difficulties and all the challenges that he went through, he used extreme wisdom and he used extreme knowledge in order to get him to where he was. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights this in the Quran. So Allah is telling us that a sign of those who are the ulul albab is that they don't rush into solutions. They think. They see the society. They see their family. They always are thinking. And this is something that we learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was never quick to speak. He was never quick to speak. When someone would share with him a situation, he would sit down, think, reflect, and then he would give his response. Even just to help you understand, one person that we know in our current history, Steve Jobs is a name that you and I, we have heard so many times, who has been the founder of the iPhone and so forth. Even Steve Jobs is written about Steve Jobs. When people would come to him and bring up all these ideas to him, and there's a flood of ideas, He was a person, it's written about him. He would never be quick to speak, but he was a person who thought. And he would always think bigger than everyone else. Think about it, everyone is working around him, but his mind was the only one that came up with the iPhone that today billions of people they have. So this is what I'm trying to speak about, is that the people who have Ulul Albab are those who think through every single decision they make. They are not rushed in making any, they're not rushed in a hurry to make any decision. Just like we find in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, that he was extremely smart. And that is why Allah says in the Quran that all these stories that we find in the Quran, they can only be beneficial to those people who have Ulul Albab. This is the third sign. The fourth sign is something very similar, but these are people who have wisdom in their approach. You know, subhanAllah, how often people, they are smart in their nature, but they're not very wise in their approach. There's always a time and a place and a way to fix a situation, but we often don't understand these kind of things. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were times when he would speak, and there were times when he just stayed completely quiet. There were times when he felt that if I stay quiet, this is more impactful. Why? Because he had that wisdom. Brothers and sisters, today you and I, majority of us, we don't have that wisdom. Yes, wisdom means that smartness basically says, in general says, the general situation says, always correct when you see something that is wrong. But wisdom says, but you try to find the right place and the right time to fix the wrong. Let me give you an example. How often when people go to the graveyard, people are very, very emotional. People are extremely emotional. I have seen people who come to the masjid on a daily basis. They do things at the graveyard which are against the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. There is nothing in the Quran and the Sunnah about this. For example, often you see that people will bring a whole gallon of Zamzam and they will start squirting it all over around the mayyit. Is this anywhere from the Quran? Is this anywhere from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is not. It does not impact the outcome of the mayyit. It doesn't mean that because you put Zamzam water, now khalas, you know, if they were a bad person, they're going to give all the right answers. That's not how it works. But you see people that will come and put Zamzam water. Now, is it right or is it wrong? Now, once some people may say that, okay, it's not that it's, you know, it's haram, it might be mubah, but it's wasting of water. You can give it to someone else who can drink the Zamzam water and they can get their du'as accepted. So when people do this, think about it. You can correct them at that time. You can correct them at that time, but wisdom says you don't correct them at that time. Why? Because they won't listen to you. They are extremely emotional. This is what wisdom is that you and I, we don't have. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءَ, that Allah gives hikmah to whoever He wants. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever has been given wisdom, they have been given a lot. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا Ulul Albab. These are the people that they have, the ones who have wisdom, they are the ones who are considered as Ulul Albab. And finally, the last characteristic of those who are the Ulul Albab is that they always think about the Akhirah. They always reflect on what will come out of this. If I do what I'm doing, what I'm about to do right now, will it lead me to Jannah or will it lead me to the fire of Jahannam? And that is why Allah says in the Quran, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. That Allah says, I have prepared for the wrongdoers the fire of Jahannam. So be cautious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always think before you do something, will this take me to Jannah? Will this take me to Jahannam? Instead, rather just than just doing it. And even if there is a situation where you do something that is wrong, always go back and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah is telling us. So these are five characteristics of people who are the intellectual. The intellectual that is recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the society, but by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we as a Muslim, we should always strive to be amongst the ulul albab. And that is where we need to keep on working at. It's not about just being smart. It's about being intellectual, being smart, going deeper than what the brain is and what the mind is, going deeper and connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He wants from us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes all of us, not only those who have the aql, but He makes us from amongst those who are the ulul albab. Ameen rabbil alameen. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fi qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ana wa iyyakum lati wa dhikr al-hakim. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisan al-muslimin fastaghfiru innahu al-ghafur rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Quickly, I just want to run through again the characteristics. I like to always recap at the end of the khutbah. The first sign of those who are the ulul albab is they always connect with their purpose of their life and they reflect on the creation of Allah. Number two is these are people who are conscious of their own abilities, their surroundings, and they understand the situation and they make a decision based on all these factors. The third is that these are people who have the skills and the ability to understand the social issues, and they know how to deal with the society problems, and they bring solutions in a way that is going to be beneficial to everyone. The fourth thing is that they use their knowledge and they use their wisdom to make a difference in the society, and this keeps them apart from everyone else. And the fifth sign of those who are the ulul albab is they always are spiritually connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking about their actions, the benefits of their actions, and the repercussions of their actions. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us from amongst those who are the ulul albab, and as Allah has mentioned in the Quran, that those who are the ulul albab, they connect with Allah, and Allah says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these kind of people, that they are going to be given rewards in this dunya, and they'll receive a great reward in the akhirah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us the tawfiq to apply what has been said and heard. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ansur Islam wal Muslimin. Allahumma ansur Islam wal Muslimin fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansurna ala man khalafana. Wahfad biladana wa aslih awladana. Washfi mardana wa aafi mubtalana. Warham mawtana. Wa khud biaydina ila kulli khayr. Wa asimna min kulli shar. واحفظنا من كل ضير. اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن يقين ما تهون علينا مصائب الدنيا، ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحيتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب. اللهم اجعلنا من أولو الألباب. اللهم اجعلنا من أولو الألباب. آمين رب العالمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. أقم الصلاة. Straight lines, fill in the gaps. Brothers in the lobby area, please make sure the rows are straight. Often they are not straight. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure that the rows are complete. Brothers in the multi-purpose hall, please come inside. There's still ample amount of space. Sisters in the multi-purpose hall area, please come inside the main hall. There might be still space. The multi-purpose hall is for an overflow purpose. So if you're in the multi-purpose hall, sisters, please come inside the main hall. Sisters, please make sure the rows are straight and complete. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure the rows are complete. If you're standing in the lobby area, please come inside. If you see space, please come inside.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة وقد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een. Ihdina الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.